Welcome to Shrink Wrap, a podcast where Fran and Becky give proper respect to various mental health and wellness topics
while adding in a little bit of smart assery that they just can't seem to contain.
This podcast cannot and does not constitute therapy advice.
However, we do hope that you find the information we share with you helpful and entertaining.
Please be advised that this podcast discusses topics that can be sensitive to some listeners. Use appropriate discretion.
Hey, everybody. Welcome.
Welcome.
It's recording day.
Yes, here we are.
Such an exciting day.
It is.
It really is. I live for these days. I know I always say that, but here we are.
Here we are.
Did you ladies hear who's coming to the Brown County Fair?
Who's coming to the Brown County Fair?
So we are recording this before this announcement comes out, but I, as a 90s child, am so excited.
I know who.
So Friday night is going to be a triple header of Lit, Smash Mouth, and Sugar Ray.
Wow.
Okay, I can get into that. I don't like to go to those concerts because they're just like crowded and I'm not a crowd person.
Yeah, you could get that me. Sounds fun.
Or I could just go to my friend's house who doesn't live far away and we just, that's what we did for, was it Nelly 2 years ago?
Yeah,
we just opened up the patio door.
Oh, yeah.
Every morning there's a halo hanging from the corner of my girlfriend's four-post bed. I love Sugar Ray. As a 90s kid, I'm so excited. You know, like, they do all this planning, and the fair board does a great job. And I'm on the fair board, but I just put out what they, all the work that they do. But it's all country mostly, which I get it. I mean, that's the region.
That's where we are.
And I, somewhat jokingly, and not that anybody took it seriously, said, if Weird Al can't come, maybe I'm going to step down. He was on the list. I'm like, I think we can spend 200 grand on Weird Al.
I'm sorry, but I like Weird Al.
I do too.
I think he's so clever.
So clever. Yep. I have core memories of listening to Amish Paradise off of a tape that I borrowed from a friend.
But and you had to use your pencil to rewind.
Exactly. And Fran, tapes were what became before or after 8-tracks, just and then after records, just so you know.
Okay. And now records are making a comeback.
They're making a comeback. I think that's so stupid, but that's a different thing. Oh, I think, did you see the Weird Al movie?
Mm-mm.
Oh my God.
I need to, don't I?
So it's on Roku. You can download it for free. And there's, I found ways to kind of like watch it on my TV from my phone or whatever, but it is, it's a parody of his life even.
Oh,
so he gets
a parody of a parody.
Yeah. So it's Daniel Radcliffe who plays Weird Al.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah. And so he goes to a party with like, Wolfman Jack and like all these other like people of the time. Yeah, he's like, you don't have the chops, boy. Make up a song right here. And that's where he made up Another One Rides the Bus. Give me my accordion. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's super dramatic. And then it goes into like his drug bender. And then someone calls him. And he's like, he did what? Michael Jackson covered my song Fat with Bad? Like that can't happen. Yeah. And he dates Madonna for a while. It is pure on Weird Al parody, but it is so fun if you're into that
if
mood.
He ever comes to the Brown County Fair, I will be there.
He won't. It spoiler.
It might just be me and Brody. But
yeah, we'll go to Ontario to see him or something.
Meanwhile, Brian and Jim are going to be in the beer gardens going, who the F did we marry?
Another one drives the bus. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Carry on.
Okay, sorry.
All right, so what are we talking about?
Relationship OCD.
Okay, so that's obsessive compulsive disorder, but
relationship
it's
style.
ROCD, right?
Ooh. Or rocked.
Rocked, yes.
I just made that up.
That's
sorry.
Kinda cute.
Is that really the acronym?
Yeah, ROCD, yeah.
Perfect.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Frantastic Factoid.
Relationship OCD, or ROCD, is a common type of OCD, says Kristen Bianchi, PhD, a licensed clinical psychologist who specializes in treating anxiety disorders and OCD. I think this topic is so fascinating.
It's so fascinating.
It is just so interesting.
And
to
right
me.
After you brought it up and you uploaded the copy to our drive, I kid you not, I had somebody who said, I think I have relationship OCD.
No way.
Not even making that up.
Wow.
The timing was bizarre. So I don't know if this is like all over the TikTok or what's going on, but it was,
because I'm always up on the TikTok.
I was gonna say, Fran would know what's on the TikTok.
That's why I looked at you. Can you help me out, Brody?
She knows it's 6 o'clock, time for bed.
Right, exactly.
TikTok. You should get on the TikTok though. Oh my
God. The TikTok.
Every now and again I give myself like 30 minutes to go on TikTok and just look at like funny animal videos and dad jokes. Not like I don't live with somebody who tells dad jokes all the time.
Yes.
You seen those two guys who live in, oh, it's like Washington somewhere. They sit out on the dock until, they're so great. Oh. Somebody stole my Microsoft Office the other day. I'm going to get it back. They have my word.
Cute. Oh, I love it.
Oh my gosh, Fran, you need to hang out with Jim.
I do.
He needs somebody like you. Because I just look at him and I go, no.
None of that.
Meanwhile, the kids are cracking up. Relationship OCD is often misunderstood by mental health professionals and by humans in general. It is a form of a obsessive compulsive disorder where the individual experiences intrusive, unwanted, and distressing thoughts about the strength, quality, and quote unquote true nature of their love for their partner.
All right, so let's break this down, okay? Let's do a review. So an obsession is the idea or the thought that is constantly spinning in your brain and it's intruding in your mind, right?
Okay, so that's O.
That's O. So the obsessions in ROCD include: you are totally preoccupied with your partner's appropriateness. Should they be my mate? Their level of attractiveness, their sexual desirability, and their long-term compatibility or their long-term compatibility. Now, this happens within, well, they were otherwise healthy relationships, but within...
Until this shit started.
It
just, shit happens.
Yeah.
So most people think of OCD as hours of hand washing or compulsive checking to see if they turn the stove off. But OCD compulsions, okay, you ready for the C?
Yeah.
These are the irresistible urges to behave in a certain way, especially against one's conscious wishes. These are different in ROCD.
Which this was fascinating to me. I did not know this. So this is understandable. Okay. I mean, we've got to understand this better. Because you always think of a compulsion as a behavior that you can see. You can witness it, right? That's what I always thought it was. As with all forms of OCD, the ROCD compulsions are done in an effort to reduce your anxiety related to these unwanted thoughts. What's tricky is that those with ROCD is that the compulsions are performed in their head, so other people do not notice them.
Unfortunately, lack of knowledge about this less visible about the less visible symptoms of ROCD often lead to misdiagnosis. So well-intentioned family members, friends, and even therapists can often suggest that, you know what, maybe you're just not that into him or her.
And, you know, think about it. You get people coming in, highly intelligent people, right? And they have ROCD and they're able to articulate very well all of these thoughts and these doubts and these, you know, just conflicting information. It seems viable. It seems realistic. Yeah. You know, if you're not really even looking at this as a possible diagnosis, you get sucked down pretty deep.
Yeah.
So common obsessions and ROCD, the common thoughts, as with other forms of OCD, these focus on issues of doubt and intense discomfort with uncertainty. So the simple main obsession is, what if I do not really love my partner?
I think this dovetails nicely with the episode we just did not that long ago. And now I can't think of, it's like, is there just one soulmate? What was that called?
Oh,
we just recorded that one.
We just did. And I have no brain capacity whatsoever. I know.
We should not do this at the end of the day, really, but it's not all we have.
True fans will know.
Yes.
But yeah, can you see that? Like if you had both, like how both of these could go together.
For sure.
Oh, it'd be a marriage made in hell. These obsessions frequently lead the sufferer to unrealistically demand 100% certainty in their mind about their feelings for their partner.
This cracks
so
me up.
So how in the hell? I mean, to this, I'm pretty sure I should be with Jim, but can I say with 100% certainty? I can say with 100% certainty, I'm too lazy to go out and get somebody else.
Or I can say with 100% certainty, I have fantasized about burying my husband in the backyard on a and in these 400 decades that we've been together. So how would, you know, I mean,
I'm sorry, that's a different episode. Okay. I got a little too excited about that.
Yeah, I know, it really is. But, you know, it's just, think about that, 100% certainty of your feelings for your partner.
I think we have a landmark here. Fran just admitted her age. 400 decades. I'm pretty sure it's 40,000 years.
No, okay, remember. remember.
Or is it 400,000 years?
Okay, see what
a lot of zeros.
What you don't know about me,
yeah,
is that okay? Remember the Twilight series?
Oh, are you a vampire?
I'm not going to answer that question.
Okay, well, you're always cold. Does that mean anything?
Don't be rude, Becky. They're called Nightwalkers, okay? Use the pejorative term.
God, I'm terrible.
That's 4,000 years,
see,
just so we know.
I can call myself a vampire, but you can't call myself exactly. a vampire, yeah. right?
So, but how do you know 100% certainty? And that's where I think, like, you look around and you go, I've got a good one. I've mm-hmm. got a good one.
In general.
Yeah.
They're going to make
Not
it work.
Not perfect.
Right.
Like me, but, yeah, you know. Right.
Exactly.
They're 100% certain.
Is this one of those, like, modern phenomenons? You know, where almost like hoarding, where we didn't maybe have hoarding 100 years ago.
You mean like a newer diagnosis?
Well, yeah, like a newer diagnosis. Like,
yes.
Because you have
newer behavior.
So many options now. Right. But yeah, I mean, I guess I don't. Yeah. I'm sure you have a historical diagnosis
I mean,
in there somewhere.
I would, yeah,
but.
I would say it's not a newer behavior. Like hoarding isn't a new behavior. My grandma had baby jars full of fucking buttons all over.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say something else. Yeah. Thank God it was buttons.
Just buttons.
Possum buttholes. They're a delicacy in the winter. Yeah. You'll be thankful, friend. You don't remember doing that 4,000 years ago?
Oh, God. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, God. Okay, so common obsessions, meaning thoughts, in ROCD include, what if I don't really love my partner? Or what if they are not the one?
The one, because there's only one.
There's only one.
What if I'm not really attracted to them? Mm. What?
Mm. So does this only afflict 99% of women and 0.5% of men?
You're saying men never have this?
I can't, personally, I can't think of the, this seems like a ruminating.
The one person that I would have diagnosed with this was male.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, what do I know?
If I don't think about my partner all day long, do I really love them? Because then now you've got like, well, but you
do
know,
you think you, about your partner all day long?
Just the murdering aspect.
All day long. Okay.
Who's got time for that?
No one. Okay. Oh. If I didn't completely enjoy that one kiss, does that mean I'm not attracted to my partner? Or, I noticed another attractive person. That must mean that I'm in the wrong relationship.
Now, that's one I've heard a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can imagine cheating on
We've all seen Chris Hemsworth. Come on. Like,
seriously.
I mean, for real.
I can imagine cheating on my partner. Therefore, I must secretly want to be with someone else. Mm. Not so much. Mm. Or there might be fixation on flaws or negative aspects of the person's partner's appearance or character.
Obsessive concern about harming one's partner emotionally.
Oh, emotionally. Okay.
By staying in a relationship if you don't truly love them.
Okay, good. Not harming them physically.
So sadly, these obsessions can, and obviously often do, lead to the loss of an otherwise great relationship with a loving partner. Because, I mean, these people are not quiet about this. They're having regular mm-hmm. conversations with this other partner because yep. they're legitimately concerned. Like, yep. what if I don't really love you? Or what if you're not the right person for me? And let's yeah. talk about this. And, you know, let's try kissing. Let's see if I really yeah. feel it. And it's like,
oh, man, that's so loaded. Like, I'm thinking.
When we were on vacation, I saw the person and I thought they were very attractive. And so maybe that means I'm not attracted to you and you deserve somebody who's attracted right. to you. Like, you shouldn't be with me. I'm a terrible person.
Mm-hmm. I think the only way to respond to that is like, okay, well, do you?
Yeah.
Like, what are you trying to prove yourself? Is this the Hunger yeah. Games of relationships? Mm-hmm. Like, are you just going to spend the rest of your
but
life
there again? It's like saying to somebody
doing
with
that
like the stereotypical OCD that we think of. And so if somebody says, did I really turn the curling iron off? You mm-hmm. can't just look at him and say, well, did you?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
What's up, dude?
Is there any snacks here?
No, there's not. Go watch your show. We'll
Uh-oh,
be done
buddy.
Soon.
Wait.
Holy cats.
Oh. You're welcome.
You are the person. And how come
Can
I
you
don't
close
have
the door,
those
buddy?
In my
close
pocket?
The door. Thank you.
He's so cute.
He is so stinking cute.
Yeah.
We were at a wedding this weekend, and Amanda Gower, do you know her?
Yeah.
Fifth grade teacher. She yep. has Lily's in her class. She goes, I'm afraid to have Isaac because he'll get away with murder. He's just so stinking cute.
He really is.
I said, the minute he realizes that, his powers will be used for evil instead of good. But
yes, in my pocket, I always have lipstick and usually a treat. So,
good for you. Well, thank you.
Literally. a fucking old woman is where I'm at this point. If I just had some
You were going to say like chapstick and laxatives. If I had, you know, whatever.
And a condom.
If I had juicy fruit, I could round out the old lady.
You totally could.
A Werther's original, really.
By the way, I love those.
No, and a used tissue.
That's this pocket.
Hey, Becky, why is the Northern State University graduate program in counseling so awesome?
I could go on forever, but let's talk about the fact that you can get a clinical degree where you can work in private practice or an agency, or you can get a school counseling degree on the school track where you can work in a school as private school, parochial school, public school, any school you want to. And then my favorite.
What?
Forensic counseling.
Super cool. Yes. But is it KCREP approved?
It is KCREP approved. And you're like, what does that mean? You know what? It means that it has the gold standard of grad schools.
Super awesome. But can I afford it? Because I don't have a lot of money.
It's okay. If you go to northern.edu, you can apply for some scholarships. They have a couple of counseling specific scholarships in addition to some other really fantastic scholarships that a guidance counselor or a admissions counselor can help you with.
Awesome. Be Northern, unleash your potential, baby.
Oh. Obsessions can get especially intense when the person with OCD is dealing with issues of long-term commitment, like relationship exclusivity or meeting the partner's family, living together, or getting married. Which, again, if you have these obsessions that make you question, long-term commitment's going to look pretty freaking scary.
Right.
Some common compulsions in ROCD. Now, remember, these are the actions. This is the C. Mm-hmm. Compulsions in OCD generally fall into one of four categories: overt, avoidant, reassurance seeking, and mental compulsions.
Okay, so let's start with the overt, which is what you can see.
Fran, we break it down.
Yeah, let's break it down.
Break it down.
Break it down. Break it down.
That was better than you normally do. I like it. Do it again.
I'm not doing it.
Do it again.
She did it. I didn't do it.
You did.
I did.
I can't do it.
Album dropping next spring.
Oh, God.
She raps. I do the beatboxing.
Oh, jeez.
I'd pay money for that.
All right. So here are the overt compulsions. Having sex with your partner in order to check for arousal and or if there's feelings of emotional connection. You have sex and then you're asking yourself, okay, do I feel emotionally connected to them?
Oh, like, feelings of arousal for yourself.
Yeah, if you have those feelings of arousal for your partner, if this is the right
partner. Was I generally aroused? Was I just going through the motions? Like,
right. Yeah. Was I thinking about somebody else?
It is exhausting. And that's why, like, it's rough on people that are dealing with this. Yeah.
Yes. And here's the roughness. Repeatedly confessing to your partner that you're experiencing doubts about your feelings or about the viability of the relationship. I'm laughing right now because
that's where it gets rough for everybody.
No, but like, I can just imagine because Mark and I sitting like in our chairs at night and I'd be like, I need to talk to you about something. I have these serious doubts about whether or not you are the right person.
Oh my God, keep this role play going. And so he, after shearing his sheep, says, I'm sorry, what?
He would say, go find some trappers. He would say something totally sarcastic and make light of it. And I'd be like, he'd know, I don't know, whatever. That's just our weird life.
See, Jim and I would have that conversation and he would go, yes, and?
Yeah, what? Yeah, your point?
What do you want to do about it? And then he would make a bad dad joke and then he would be over it. Yeah.
There you go.
It can also look like repeatedly confessing to your partner that you are attracted to other people. Mm. Repeatedly confessing that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good.
Darius Rucker, number one. Mm. Although he's gone through some stuff, you guys. If we could just take a moment for Darius, he's going through it right now.
He's gone from pomp to country.
Yeah.
That's a hard transition.
It is. But then a couple of weeks ago, he had a little run-in with the law.
Oh, did he?
He's not there. I'm not there to be like a stabilizing force for him.
Oh, please.
I know.
Darius. Sometimes you just got to let her cry.
Yeah.
It for me.
Till those tears fall down like rain.
Please.
Or frequently breaking up with your partner.
or testing your feelings by spending time with, flirting with others, or searching dating sites to see, am I attracted to someone else?
Yeah, that'll always end well.
Okay, compulsive online researching about love or relationship issues. And we are making light of this, but yeah. I'm telling you, these people are in pain.
Yes.
They are literally torturing themselves because they feel like, what if I make this horrible mistake? And what if this person ends up with me and I don't really love them?
Mm. And we make light of it as though it's a choice.
Yeah.
You know, and it's out of their control until they learn how to get better control.
Yeah.
There can also be avoidant compulsions. So avoiding being around attractive or triggering people such as ex-lovers, lovers, or people you might find attractive. Or you might avoid being intimate with your partner, verbally, physically, or both.
And why do you think that is? Why do you think they avoid being intimate?
Because it might show that they're not really into the relationship.
Right.
That might be proof.
Yes. Avoiding saying I love you or praising or complimenting your partner, or avoiding loving gestures for fear these will further connect you to your partner.
Because it will it be real connection?
Right.
We don't know. Mm-hmm. There can also be reassurance seeking compulsions, asking family members and friends to rate the compatibility of your relationship.
Wow.
Yeah. That would be tough. I would not want to be in that boat.
Can you imagine? Like, I mean, if your daughter came to you and she's like, okay, how compatible do you think I am with Joe?
Yeah.
And rate it on a scale from 0 to 10. And why do you think that?
Yeah. I'd be like, I don't know.
I would be like, yeah. What do you want for dinner?
Yeah, exactly. And coming from Fran, that is quite another question. If she's willing to dive into cooking dinner.
I just said, bitch, what do you want for dinner? I can order in like the best of them.
This also, again, because as we read these, I imagine this happening. Asking family members or friends to confirm your partner's attractiveness or sexual desirability. Fran, do you think Jim's hot? Like, I don't, honestly, don't even answer that. I don't want to know.
I'll answer yes.
Okay. Well, thank you, Brody. Jim will appreciate that.
You know my digits.
Oh, God. I can't.
It's been a dry spell. He might take you up on that. It'll say Benadryl spell. What?
Asking family members or friends if they think your relationship will last or if you are meant for marriage, or compulsively asking others about their relationships and comparing notes.
Yeah.
So this is where the magic eight ball could really come in handy.
Or tarot cards.
Maybe.
Those could work. Yeah.
Flip a coin.
Tea leaves. Isn't that the way you used to do it, Fran? Read the chicken bones.
Oh, the chicken bones. Forgot about that. Now it's the sheep bones.
Is it?
Yeah. And then we have mental compulsions. And again, these are the ones that you don't really see. Mentally comparing your significant other to attractive or desirable people. So that would be a tough one. Like, Jim is really hot, but so is Joe.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's better just to go, Jim's really hot. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Jim, I'm talking about your hotness. Not that he'll ever hear this. mentally checking your arousal or attraction during sex or other intimate moments. Again, I'm just imagining, like, can you just hold it for a second?
Yeah, I have to do a check-in.
I have to ask myself some questions.
But, you know, think about this for a minute. You can see why therapists have such a difficult time diagnosing this, because people don't want to necessarily admit this. That this is going on. And you're not seeing this. You're not witnessing this.
Right. And they already feel quote unquote crazy, right? They're already thinking there must be something really wrong with me that I'm doing this.
Right. Mentally comparing their relationship to those of friends and family to see if it sizes up or if it's better or worse than theirs, or comparing your relationship to thoughts or feelings expressed in love songs,
gross,
romantic novels,
grosser,
or movies, because we all know, Becky, your relationship is just like movies.
It's so
and romantic books. Yeah. It totally is.
Yeah. Science fiction or horror, maybe. I don't like, you've heard me say this, I'm going to say it again because it's my soapbox. Mm. I don't like love songs. I don't mind love songs. I don't like romantic novels.
You a love song.
And I don't like romantic movies because people think that's how it really is. I had a different one in my head
before you sang that. Never mind. Okay.
Love stinks. Okay. So
because that's not how it actually is. You know?
It's so unrealistic.
But I mean, you got married and you danced to a song that meant something to you, theoretically.
Well, that's why I said I'm okay with love songs. We jokingly said, it was a Meatloaf song.
Two out of three in bed.
No. What's the other one where they have the baseball analogy in there?
Oh, Paradise by the Dashboard
Yes!
Light.
Yeah.
That was your wedding song? Well, no, kudos to you, Becky.
About it, and then Jim said it should be Highway to Hell.
Oh, no. Mine was done. Another one bites the dust. But actually, that's the one that's going to be, I'm going to play that at my prayer celebration when I take
when
my
die.
Trip up to the other side. Yep. That is totally going to be my song. Yep.
I love that.
I know.
Mentally reviewing past relationships and comparing them with your current one.
Those with ROCD believe that if they just search long enough and keep trying hard enough, they will find the one. So how does this impact relationships?
Oh boy, does it.
Do you think it does?
I just a smidge.
Okay, so obviously these relationships are often unstable due to these endless fighting, conflicts, breakups, getting back together. Even the most compassionate person is going to have enough, right? And you can see, again, how this is misdiagnosed. Because, you know, imagine, like, even with couples therapy, I would think if you have any suspicion this is going on, you should invite the partner in.
Yeah.
I think that collateral information is critical.
I agree.
Babe, I thought I loved you, and then I slept with 12 people, and then I realized that I did. I
well,
think.
Unfortunately, I wish it were that simple, because it's like, babe, I thought I loved you, but I imagined sleeping with one other person, and so I obviously don't. Ironically, their fear of hurting their partner often results in them doing just that. So the one thing they want to avoid, they end up doing. And it's also worth noting that ROCD often occurs simultaneously with other variants of OCD.
See, that's not even fair.
It isn't, because you know? OCD is a rough, very rough diagnosis. I sent you that chirp that Dr. Patrick McGrath did. I'll have Allison post it, because it's such a, I think, just such a poignant way of nobody wakes up and says, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to obsess over something I have no control of and really drive myself bonkers.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait, is a chirp a new type of social media? I'm legit serious.
You don't know?
No, I can't. I sent you.
Was that a tweet?
It was an excerpt.
Something. Sorry. Carry on.
So of all the variants of OCD, they have really one thing in common, and the one thing in common is the discomfort with uncertainty. That is common in the human experience. Yeah. These people want to know. They want certainty.
They want the guarantee.
So people with ROCD, the doubts about their relationship are ego dystonic, which means they feel their doubts are a contradiction to how they truly feel about their partner. So they're very distressed and they are having unwanted thoughts and they want to get rid of them and they're miserable. Well,
who could blame them?
Yeah.
Obsessions in ROCD focus entirely on doubts they have about their own feelings for their partner and not on the insecurities about whether or not their partner loves them in return. Insecurity doesn't necessarily play a part in ROCD.
No.
That is interesting.
Isn't it? It really is.
I assumed it went the other way. But.
Because again, their partner is a better human than they are in their mind.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Another differentiation is being jealous of your partner's friendships, like sneaking through their phone records or reading their private emails is not ROCD. And calling your ex-boyfriend 47 times a day or following a woman that you find attractive is not ROCD. Stalking is not ROCD or harassment is not ROCD.
Do not do that and try to blame it on our podcast.
Don't do it.
Finally, it's important to note that a fear of intimacy is not ROCD. That is something different. When one fears intimacy, they're afraid of being emotionally vulnerable with their partner. With ROCD, the sufferer is not afraid of intimacy. They are afraid of being in the wrong relationship or having intimacy with the wrong person. Mm-hmm. The core issue with ROCD is not intimacy, but uncertainty.
Right. So treatment for OCD, this is the good news. It's highly treatable.
Yes.
Yes. And there is an optimistic prognosis, as with almost everything else. CBT is the first step, the best line of treatment.
Treatment includes educating the client about the disorder, helping them understand how ROCD works, and how the condition profoundly affects their daily life and their ability to be in a healthy, meaningful, committed relationship. So when I was treating the person who I suspect has this, we did a lot of CBT, which is like, where are the facts? You know, so yeah, you passed Susie on the street, and now you think that because you noticed she looked pretty today, that that means you don't love your partner. But where's the facts? That show that.
Prove it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you are listening to this podcast and you're wondering if you have this diagnosis and you want to check it out, Google any therapist that's aware of ROCD or at least has a really good background in OCD.
And CBT.
Yes, and CBT. Source for the podcast, the OCD Center of Los Angeles, a private outpatient clinic specializing in CBT. Brody.
Here we go.
Here we go.
This is supposed to be a doozy.
I like this one.
Okay.
Okay.
Are we going to fight?
I hope so.
Okay.
Am I wrong for putting peanuts in my food and not putting an allergen label on it, knowing that the food thief is allergenic?
Yeah.
That's cruel. You could kill somebody.
I mean, you can kill them. Yeah.
Okay. Slow down.
Okay.
Sorry.
So my office recently got a new hire. We'll call him Omar. He's a young Muslim guy fresh out of college, and ever since he was onboarded, my food has been going missing. I mention his religion because I'm also Muslim, and it's hard to find halal food on short notice, and it's been really difficult.
I was wondering why that was coming. I'm glad he explains it.
Yeah.
Not having food to eat because it's been stolen. My theory is that he stole my food because I'm the only obviously Muslim one in the office. I wear a hijab and have mentioned going to mosque. And he knows that my food is okay to eat. I've tried talking to him about this, and he always plays dumb and denies knowing anything about my missing meals. As the title says, he's allergic to peanuts. On Friday, I brought leftovers, which included peanuts. I made sure to label the package clearly with my name, but I didn't think to include any label about having peanuts in it. No one else in the office uses allergen labels for their food. It didn't even cross my mind. When I got to the fridge and realized my food was once again missing, I rushed to Omar's desk where, of course, I found him eating my food. And I told him that the lunch that he stole had peanuts in it. His eyes got really wide and he went for his EpiPen. And thank goodness he injected himself before the reaction got really bad.
Oh my God.
After Omar got done panicking about his reaction, he blew up at me. He said that I could have killed him. Mm. And I said he wouldn't have been in danger if he wasn't a liar and a thief. He told me that it was my fault for not putting an allergen label on the packaging of my food, and I said that I'm lactose intolerant, but I don't expect anyone to put labels on their dairy because I don't steal other people's food. He said that's different because milk won't kill me, and I said it was the same principle. HR has ruled in my favor and now requires allergen labels on all food, and the entire office is mad at me, not just for the inconvenience of the labels, but because I, quote, targeted Omar and, quote, tried to kill him. Now I feel bad. Am I wrong?
No, I'm doing a 180.
Okay, wait a minute. You're saying the company did rule in favor of the guy that was getting stolen from, correct?
Well, it doesn't sound like it.
She said, HR has ruled in my favor, but now requires allergen labels on all food.
Okay, so they ruled in your favor, but they still...
So they said, Omar is wrong, but you should put labels on your food.
Okay, let me hear what you got to say.
I disagree with that.
Okay, tell.
Well, if I have a severe food allergy, then I'm going to stick to stuff I prepare, right?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Because I don't know what other people put in their food, especially something like a peanut allergy, which is extremely severe. So I think to blow up at her, it was nice that she came and found him and said, Omar, you might want to inject yourself with your EpiPen so you don't die. No, he's stealing. It's theft. He is stealing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I totally agree with that. I do. And also she said, even though she suspected he was stealing, she didn't intentionally leave that off.
And that's what I thought. That's where I thought it was going, was she knew he was allergic, so she intentionally made something with peanuts and then to see what he would do.
To now,
she's saying
die.
She just happened to bring leftovers that had peanuts in it. Mm-hmm. To me, that's different.
Yeah. Yeah. She didn't intentionally.
If my food was intentionally getting stolen, I shouldn't say intentionally, if it was consistently getting stolen by somebody at work, I can't say that I wouldn't consider that.
Yes, you know what I would think of
that's natural consequences.
No, but I would think, first of all, my thought would be, why is this person so hungry and they're not able to bring their own lunch?
Yes,
I would want to know that.
As a therapist, that is what you would think.
Yes, I would definitely
I was more
think
along
that.
Your line. So as a kind therapist, that would be your thought.
I'm gonna bring two, and I'm gonna keep one at my desk, and the other one is going to be doused in hot sauce.
I would probably bring somebody food, but I
wouldn't jack with the peanut allergy. Like, I think that's just
cruel. You don't want to kill anybody.
A little bit of hot sauce or something like that.
Some laxative.
Yes. Yep.
Yep.
You guys are rotten.
What?
But you know, most places where you're employed, don't they have cameras for thieves?
Not in the, like,
not
we
in the
don't
break
have a break room.
Room.
No, it's in the break room. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't even have a break room, so.
You don't.
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
Break it down.
The break room is, we break it down. We get the peanuts out and then we kill somebody.
Okay, we gotta stop the madness.
All right, we are the Shrinks.
And that's a wrap.